turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's chapter 26 in the book of Devarim. We're on the home stretch now towards the last part of the Torah. And as I was thinking about this one and realizing just how much meat there is in this Torah portion, the last one had a whole lot of important stuff in it. And so does this one. Arguably, this is the most famous statement and one of the most, terrifying if people don't walk in obedience to Torah, should be, set of blessings and cursings in the entire book. Probably the most famous. So if you ask people, they want to know about the blessings and the cursings. Where are the blessings and the cursings? Answer, they're in this portion, Ki Tavo, and they're in chapter 28. So we'll get there shortly. But I will put it this way. When it comes to this Torah portion, you maybe heard the old commercial from many years ago, where's the beef? The answer is, here's the beef. It's in Ki Tavo, this Torah portion. And it starts out this way. And it shall be Ki Tavo, when you have come into the land which Yahuwah your God gives you for an inheritance, you possess it, you dwell there, then you'll take the first of all the fruit of the ground. So this is called the Bikurim, the first fruits offering. These you'll bring in from your land that Yahuwah your El has given you. You'll put it in a basket and go to the place where Yahuwah your El shall cause his name to dwell there. So it's been mentioned several times. There'll be a place where he will put his name. It'll come to pass that the Kohen that shall be in those days, and you come unto him, and you say, now I'm going to rephrase this because Rashi says the tense is important, and it is in fact in the past tense. Because the way it's in my English here says, I profess this day. But he says, no, it really, it's more like, I have declared this day. Past tense. I have declared this day unto Yahuwah that I have come into the land which Yahuwah swore unto our fathers to give us. And I like the observation here. His very presence doing this at that time when he says, I have declared this day. His very presence proves that Yah has fulfilled his promise. And I think that's just wonderful. By the way, our very presence not there proves that Yah has also fulfilled the other promises, that we would be in exile, that they would be kicked out. And indeed they were, we still are, for having violated the things that we were supposed to keep. And we're going to see those tonight as well. Then the Kohen shall take the basket out of your hand, and he'll set it down before the altar of Yahuwah. And you shall answer and say before Yahuwah your El, a wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt, and he sojourned there, few in number. Then he became a great nation, mighty and populous, and the Egyptians dealt ill with us. And they afflicted us, and they laid hard bondage upon us. So we cried out to Yahuwah, the Elohim of our fathers. And Yahuwah heard our voice. He saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. And he brought us forth out of Egypt, Mitzrayim, with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place, and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of the land, which you, O Yahuwah, have given me. And you shall set it down before Yahuwah your El, and worship there before Yahuwah your El. And I have a little note in the margin here. I love this. The farmer gets it. The point at which he does this, he understands. And he has shown that he understands. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but I guess I ought to before we move too far on. My father was a wandering Aramean. It sounds like something out of the Pesach declaration, doesn't it? Okay. So he has now done this. And then it says, and you shall, and it's they. Oh, here we recognize this root word, right? Simcha, semach, simchat. The root word there has to do with joy, rejoice. You shall be filled with joy, you shall rejoice. There'll be joy all over the place in all the good which Yahuwah your El has given you, unto your house, you and the Levite, the stranger that's in the midst of you. When you've made an end of tithing, all the tithe of your increase in the third year, which is your tithing, and you've given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be satisfied, well then you shall say before Yahuwah your El, I have put away the hallowed, the set-apart things out of my house, and I've also given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandment that you, and this is a mitzvot in this case, which you have commanded me, and I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. And that's kind of an interesting way to put it. I've done all according to all your commandments, what you commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. And Rashi suggests that this is not redundant. Right? It sounds like it might be a bit redundant. I didn't forget them. I've done them. But on the other hand, I think there's more to it. And that's part of what he's saying. I have, because we can't do all of them, right? There are commandments that are associated with kings, that are associated with priests, that have to do with women and not men, or vice versa. And we can't do all of them. But it says, I haven't transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. And I think, again, that's part of the reason why when we think about this, it's bigger than just, oh, I can only do the ones that I can do, right? For example, we can't do any of these things. The place where he put his name, his name has been taken away from those places at this point. But we can still remember them and not forget them. All right, I've not eaten thereof in the morning, nor have I put away thereof, being unclean, nor given thereof for the dead. I've hearkened to the voice of Yehuah my El. I've done according to all that you've commanded me. Look forth from your holy habitation, from Hashemayim, the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the land which you've given us, as you swore our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day, Yehuah your El commands you to do these statutes and these ordinances. Okay, there are these words again, right? In the Hebrew, ha-hukim, that's the word that's translated as statutes, but I like huk better. Remember, huk is one of those things that basically amounts to just do it because I say so. You don't have to understand why. It might be above your pay grade, but it's still important to do it. And the ordinances, on the other hand, you probably can figure out why those are important, but do those too. And you shall observe to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have avouched Yahuwah this day to be your El. And it's an interesting tense that's used there. It's unique. I guess that's about the best I can say, because the translation is kind of tough into the English. You have avouched Yahuwah this day to be your God, and that you would walk in His ways, keep His statutes, His commandments, and His ordinances, and hearken unto His voice. But it's a unique word, a unique tense, a verb tense conjugation in the Torah. Yahuwah has avouched this day to be that you are in fact His own treasure, as He has promised you that you should keep all of His commandments. And He has avouched to make you high above all nations that He's made in praise and in name and in glory, that you might be a set apart, a holy, a kadosh people unto Yahuwah as He has spoken. Now from there, chapter 27 says, Moshe and the elders of Israel then commanded the people, saying the following. Notice how this keeps getting repeated. Keep all the commandment which I command you this day. Almost like it's important. Almost like it's not really done away with. Yeah, I know I emphasize that. And some people probably think, well, Mark sounds like a broken record. Every time it says, keep all of this commandment, keep my statutes, my judgments, the commandments, he reads this and emphasizes it. Answer, why do you think he repeats it so many times? It just blows me away. And I see some of these various websites online and I hear people saying, oh, it's done away with. And I'm thinking, have you ever read it? You can't read this without recognizing, wow, he does say that a lot. And then he says he isn't changing it. Well, I didn't like that either. And it shall be on the day which you pass over the Jordan into the land which Yahuwah your El has given you, that you shall set up some great stones, plaster them over with plaster, and write upon them all the words of HaTorah, this instruction. When you've passed over, that you may go into the land which Yahuwah your El gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Notice that's the third time in this portion alone he said that, as Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers promised you. And it'll be that when you have passed over the Jordan, you set those stones up, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal. Again, plaster them over with plaster. And there you shall build an altar unto Yahuwah your El, an altar of stones. Do not lift up an iron tool upon them. This is kind of a consistent theme too. These altars are to be built with unhewn stones. Don't use a tool. Don't let man think he can improve them over whatever El has already done with them. But I think incumbent people that are setting them up will select them. They'll find the ones that fit the nicest, and that's okay. But he is the one that hewed the stones. Then you shall build the altar of Yahuwah of unhewn stones. You shall offer burnt offerings thereon, and that's Olah, right? Unto Yahuwah your El. and you shall sacrifice shalamim, peace offerings, and you'll eat there. And here it is again. You shall, this simcha word, joy, rejoice before Yahuwah. As a matter of fact, before the lepani, before the face of Yahuwah. And you shall write upon the stones all the words of this Torah, and I like this, very plainly. Very plainly. As if they weren't already fairly plain. But you're supposed to do a good job, I think, of engraving them and putting them in genuine print. Then Moshe and the Kohanim, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, and they said, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become a people unto Yahuwah your El. Listen and obey, not blindly, mind you, but in love. You shall therefore hearken. There it is again. That root word, of course, is Shema. Unto the voice of Yahuwah your El, do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses, that same day, he charged the people, and he said, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you pass over the Jordan. So basically, he's going to split up the tribes. Some are going to be on one mountain, some on the other. Here are the ones that are going to be on Mount Gerizim. Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These will be on Mount Ebal. They will stand for the curse. Reuben, Gad, and Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites will speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. And here's one of the places where the tradition is to for all the people to do exactly what it says at the end of each of these verses, and that is say amen. So if you feel like it, when we get there, you're welcome to do that. But there are a whole bunch of cursed bees that follow here. This is, again, the chapter prior to the one where we're going to see the real listing of blessings and cursings. But already, we're getting kind of the flavor of it. Cursed be the man that makes a graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahuwah. The work of the hands of the craftsman sets it up in secret. I guess if he puts it on the dashboard of his car, that's not in secret, is it? And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, let me pause here, and I usually mention this. You notice the first one set it out right. He does this, makes this graven image, sets it up in secret. The rest of these, by and large, and Rashi points out the connection, are things that are generally done in secret. Dishonoring your father and mother? Yeah. Nowadays they do it openly, but I guess there was a time when it was done in secret. Removing your neighbor's landmark, well, if he sees you do it, or if you do it openly, then it's going to get moved back, so that probably needs to be done in secret. Cursed be he that makes the people, the blind people, go astray in the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Yeah, that's done in secret, except I guess nowadays FBI and the Department of Justice and the others, they do it pretty openly. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife because he's uncovered his father's skirt. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with any kind of beast. Nowadays he gets to be LGBTQ+Z for zoophilia. And don't think they're not doing it, folks. That's exactly what is the next thing that's going to be taught to kiddies in grade school. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. All the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor in secret. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. A hitman, in other words. Cursed be he that confirms not the words of this Torah to do them. Now, let me read that one again. I think that's kind of interesting, given that we're already talking about this, and I have suggested for the longest time the reason why these commandments and these statutes and these judgments keep getting repeated. We keep being told, do them, observe them, keep them. And the whore church says, no, don't. They're done away with. That's Old Testament stuff. Don't worry about it anymore. Let me read this again. Cursed be he that does not confirm all of the words of this Torah to do them. Even if he's got a clerical collar on or wearing some kind of priestly robes and has some highfalutin title from a cemetery school. All the people shall say, Amen. All right, chapter 28, we're going to see the blessings and the cursings. And I'll introduce this by kind of noting how the previous chapter ended, because the standard statement, the way the sages will summarize a lot of that is, one is supposed to strengthen Torah. To strengthen Torah. In other words, to do exactly what it says, confirm the words of this instruction. And here we go. Chapter 28 says, and it'll come to pass if, there's a key word if there ever was one. It's im in the Hebrew, of course. If you shall hearken, shamar, diligently, unto the voice of Yahuwah, your El, to observe, he says it again, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you to this day, then Yahuwah your El will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And this is where we're going to get a list of blessings. And all of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Now, when I think about this, and the way that I think is a good metaphor, you ever seen anybody that's walked out, you know, the all of a sudden the tide recedes and the little fishes are flopping around on the beach, and then the water comes in, it's called a tsunami, and it overtakes them. That's the metaphor I want us to go through here and think about going on. The water goes out, and people will say, whoa, what's going on here? And then here comes this huge wave, and it overtakes you. Now, the good news is that can be the blessing. The blessing can literally be so high above you that you look up and you go, I can't even imagine this level of blessings, and it overtakes us. If you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah your El. Here we go. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the land, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the young of your flock. In other words, all your animals and everybody that's that can bear, good news. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you'll be when you go out. Yahuwah will cause your enemies, those that rise up against you, to be smitten before you. They'll come out against you one way, and they will flee from before you seven ways. And Yahuwah will command the blessing with you in your barns and in everything that you put your hand to. And he'll bless you in the land which Yahuwah your El is giving you. Yahuwah will establish you for a set apart, a kadosh people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If, you shall keep the commandments of Yahuwah your El and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see the name of Yahuwah. Now, it's not the name of the Lord, folks. What is his name? The name of Yahuwah. In other words, that is what will be called upon you. They'll be afraid of you. And Yahuwah will make you overabundant for good in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, in the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers to give you. Yahuwah will open unto you his good treasure, Hashemayim, the heavens, to give the rain of the land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Anybody old enough to remember when the United States was a creditor nation, as opposed to the biggest debtor nation on the history of planet Earth? Wow. By the way, we're going to see this one reversed, as with so many of these. And Yahuwah will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you shall, If you shall hearken unto the commandments of Yahuwah your El, which I command you this day to observe to do them. And here comes the last verse of the blessings section. Now, this is just verse 14. Notice that. I'll point this out as we go through it. Let me put it this way, folks. There are more cursings in here than there are blessings. The blessings are fabulous, though. You shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, not to the right hand nor to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. No, not even the biggest god of Big Brother or the United Nations or the biggest brother you can imagine or whatever AI is coming up next that'll be a better god and will be all omnipotent. No, don't turn aside after any of those fake gods. And I can't help but think we're so close to that that we ought to remember that. Think about that in particular this year. But, you knew there was a but, right? But it shall come to pass if you will not, lo shamar, under the voice of Yahuwah your El. Now, that's not necessarily good conjugation, but you get the point, folks. Hearken there. Hear and obey. It'll come to pass, if you will not hearken under the voice of Yahuwah your El, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you to this day, that all these curses shall come upon you, and just like that wave, overtake you. And as we go through the first of these, notice they are literally the inverse of the ones we just had for blessings. Cursed you'll be in the city, and cursed you'll be in the country, in the field. Cursed will be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed will be the fruit of your body if you don't kill it yourself or poison it with the poison poke. Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the land. Does that mean it'll all be genetically modified frankenfood and won't grow, won't reproduce? Yeah, I mean, think about it, folks. As I read this list, ask yourself, doesn't this sound like the morning headlines? Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the land, the fruit of the increase of your kind and the young of your flock. Cursed you'll be when you come in, and cursed you'll be when you're allowed to go out. Now, it says when you go out, but remember, that's not even necessarily guaranteed, given what's coming now. Yahuwah will send upon you cursing, discomfiture, rebuke in all that you put your hand to, till you're destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the evil of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. Yahuwah will make the pestilence cleave unto you, till he's consumed you from off the land that you went in to possess it. Yahuwah will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with drought, with blasting, with mildew. They shall pursue you till you perish. And your heaven that's over your heads, it'll be like brass, or it will be brass. Literally, it's a metaphor here. And the earth that is under you shall be iron. That'll be hard to farm, won't it? Yahuwah will make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven it'll come down upon you until you are destroyed. Yahuwah will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You'll go in one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Now think about that a second. As I read that this year, I'm picturing the Gestapo. And those agencies that were once supposed to be law enforcement agencies. And basically, what are they doing today? They're going out and they're literally raiding anybody that actually still believe you have God-given rights, that the purpose of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, was to protect those rights. And in fact, the United States has become a horror to all of the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. Yahuwah will smite you with the boils of Egypt, with the emerods, with the scab, the itch, things from which you cannot be healed. Yahuwah will smite you with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. Now, interestingly, I have this one highlighted in my teaching Bible here. It's been highlighted for several years, but this year I think I ought to underline it and put it in great big flashing red letters, because if there is a single term that describes the United States, and indeed most of the world, over the last year especially, but the last couple of years, it's got to be madness. Utter insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting a different result. No, doing something incredibly stupid and expecting anything other than the exact result that we're getting. With blindness, doesn't that seem apropos? And with astonishment of heart. People that I know are astonished. This can't be the country I grew up in. How could they be so stupid? Answer, they intend to kill you. They intend to destroy you. Have you got it figured out yet? You'll grope at noonday like the blind gropes in the darkness. You'll not make your way prosperous. No, you won't even be allowed to have a small business. And you will only be openly oppressed and robbed always. Hell, they'll send agents hither to harass your people and eat out your substance. There'll be no one to save you. If you betroth a wife, yeah, you betroth her, and another man will lie with her. Maybe even rape her the way things are going now. It's hard not to read this, folks, and say, wow, this sounds like a judgment, doesn't it? Sounds like exactly what we're seeing. Another man shall lie with her. You build a house, you won't dwell in it. No, the IRS will probably come take that. And you'll plant a vineyard, and you will not use the fruit thereof. Your ox will be slain before your eyes. The FDA will probably do that. And you'll not eat thereof. Your ass will be violently taken away from before your face and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and you'll have no one to save you. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people. Your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all the day. And there shall be no one in the power of your hand. Think about that and ask yourself, what is it Merrick Garland told those parents that thought they had some say in their children's upbringing? You're terrorists. We'll take your kids away. We'll teach them fisting. We'll teach them all about how they need to cut off their genitalia and take puberty-blocking drugs. Hell, we'll turn them into little zoophiles. They'll learn about zoophilia and all kinds of things you didn't even think were, because they were called an abomination unto God, were supposed to be taught in schools. Your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all the day. There'll be nothing in the power of your hand. Yep. The fruit of your land, all your labors, that'll be a nation which you know not that will eat them up. I guess you could say that's already happened, isn't it? This is a nation that some of us were born in that we know not. Honestly, it's not even remotely the nation that we thought we lived in. And you'll only be oppressed and crushed always. And you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. You know what? That's pretty much, in about 15 verses, a description of most of the world, but especially the swamp of the once free United States 2022. But we're not even done yet. Yahuwah will smite you in the knees and the legs, sore boils, where you can't be healed from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Won't be monkeypox, but it'll probably be whatever Fauci's got doing gain-of-function research in some of those Ukrainian labs being transferred to communist China right now. Yahuwah will bring you and the king that you shall set over you unto a nation you have not known. Now, I read that one this year, and I think, you know what? That's already happened. Literally, hasn't it? A king you haven't known, a king that you didn't vote for, a king that wasn't elected, and it's a nation that you may have grown up here, but you don't know it anymore. Not you nor your fathers. Well, the fathers didn't know it either. My father's passed. I think he would have been stunned beyond measure to see what's happened in just the year since he's gone. And there will be people, you will there be forced to serve other gods, wood and stone. And I guess nowadays we could add silicon. That's a different kind of stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples whither Yahuwah shall lead you away. You'll carry all kinds of seed out in the field and gather little in, because it'll be the locust that'll consume that. You plant vineyards and you'll dress them, but you won't drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, because the worm will eat those. You'll have olive trees throughout all your borders, but you won't anoint yourself with their oil. The olives will just drop off. You'll beget sons and daughters, but they won't be yours, because they shall go into captivity. Already done. All your trees and the fruit of your land will be locust fodder. The stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you, higher and higher. Hey, he'll come in, he'll get Obama phones, he'll get free stuff, he'll get bus tickets, he'll get to ride all over the place, and he'll get to do things that you don't allow to do. He doesn't have to have a poison poke, he doesn't have to wear a mask, he just gets the goodies. The stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you, higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. He will lend to you. You won't lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. And all of these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you. There's that wave again. Until you're destroyed. Because you did not hearken unto the voice of Yehuel to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder upon your seed, it says, forever. Let's pause there. Okay, now, as we look back at history, we remember what happened in the Northern Kingdom, the Southern Kingdom, the exile, the Medes, the Persians, the Roman occupation, the fact that, in fact, Babylon, they were kicked out of the land, and arguably, only a tiny fraction have even remotely returned, and even there, it's not a done deal like Scripture has promised eventually that it will be, but we're still in exile. The vast majority of the world is still in exile. Does this make sense? They shall be upon you, these curses, a sign and a wonder, upon your seed forever. Because you did not serve Yahuwah with simcha, with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things. This is Merav Kol, Merav Kol, in all things. I've got a note here. I can't help but think, especially as we realize we're coming up on the time of Yom Teruah, the blowing of the shofar, the countdown of the fall feast, culminating with the final week, that literally the commandment is to be joyful. The joy of serving Elohim is to be greater than all other happiness because He is the source. Merav Kol. Something about that ought to resonate. And I've always thought this is kind of fascinating. I'll throw it out as a question. We'll probably come back to it several times over the next few weeks. It's a commandment to be joyful. Ever thought about that? It's a commandment to be joyful in all things because of the abundance of all things. And sometimes we look at these curses, we look at the things that are going on. I'll admit, that's a tall order. I think it's probably easier to bring sacrifices to a place where His name doesn't exist anymore than it sometimes is, or at least seems, for us to be joyful when we recognize how totally screwed, that's a polite way to put it, the United States is, how deserving of judgment it is, the world is, how awful the curses that are so well deserved are already, and if you ain't seen nothing yet, will be. Can we be joyful? Well, I think that is it. That's a commandment, folks. We got to think about that. Pray about that one. Look for ways to be joyful in spite of what is so clearly deserved and here. Therefore, you shall serve your enemy, whom Yahuwah shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the want of all things. And He will put a yoke of iron upon your neck until He has destroyed you. It's happened once before. Does it have to happen again? Interesting question, right? Yahuwah will bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as the vulture swoops down. A nation whose tongue you do not understand. Could be Russian, couldn't it? But certainly could be Communist Chinese as well. Both would fit the description there. Maybe it'll be both of them together. A nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. As a matter of fact, if you've read the Communist Chinese generals, PLA colonels that have written books and basically said they intend to kill, this is the written goal, folks, every last man, woman, and child in the United States as they make total war. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of the ground, until you are destroyed, and also shall not leave you corn or wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the young of your flock, till he has caused you to perish. And he shall besiege you in all your gates, till your high and fortified walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all your land. Nowadays, we don't have the high and fortified walls, but we do have the shield. We do have a military that supposedly serves that function, although they've shipped all their arms over to Ukraine and killed all the young women and men that they can, and more to come, with the poison poke, demoralizing those that haven't already left, the ones that don't know better. They will besiege you in all your gates till your fortified walls come down. The military that you trusted in throughout all your land. And he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which Yahuwah Yireh has given you. Now here again, this is one of those places where I need to make this contrast. This was a prophecy that Moshe was offering to the people of the blessings and the curses. The curses have come to pass. We are kicked out. We are in exile. All of these things which he said would happen have happened. So the $64 quadrillion question is, are they absolutely positively going to happen again? We're not in the land, but as a matter of fact, if you read it, so the land which Yahuwah Yireh has given you. Well, didn't he give us this land? The founders certainly believe so, and I agree with them. Interesting. You shall eat the fruit of your... Oh, this doesn't sound good. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters. Or maybe that's already happening with bioflavonoids and little flavor enhancers and all the wonderful stuff. Oh, and they're injecting it into you, too, in the poison poke, if you're taking that. The flesh of your sons and daughters, whom Yahuwah Yireh has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemies shall straiten you. So the siege, the famine that will cause this, we've maybe seen a taste of it, pun intended, but we got more to come. The man that's tender among you, very delicate, you know, the weenie of a guy, his eye shall be evil against his brother, and against the wife of his bosom, and against the remnant of his children that he still has remaining to him. So that he will not give any of the flesh of his other children, whom he'll eat, to them. Well, that's not nice of him, is it? Because he has nothing left him in the siege and the straitness wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in your gates. I've talked about it. It's not a joke, folks. The cannibal rape gangs that I believe, and the military, the logistical, the historic, everything about what is coming suggests this is precisely what people need to be aware of. Anybody think that the leftists in San Francisco or in Chicago or in New York won't hesitate when they are hungry to kill people and eat them and take their stuff? I wish that was an exaggeration. It's not. You've heard the old story about 3 days, 72 hours, 9 meals is all that separates civilization from total horror and anarchy. And I have suggested, by the way, so have others, and I've really read it, people like Jim Rawls, James Wesley Rawls, the Patriots, Teotihuacan, have pointed out cannibalism will be one of the first things you can expect to see, given what's coming. And this is cannibalism being described in pretty graphic terms. This is not PG stuff. The tender and delicate woman among you, who wouldn't adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and tenderness. All right, she's right out of Savannah, Georgia or something. The debutante's ball. Oh, she's so tender, don't you know? Her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom and against her son and against her daughter. And against her own afterbirth that comes out from between her feet. And against her children whom she shall bear. Listen to this. For she shall eat them. For want of all things secretly, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in your gates. This is talking about some pretty nasty, deadly curses. And I have to ask, given what we've already seen, given the projection, the path that is so clearly outlined here, can anybody doubt? I would say you'd better not. Can anybody doubt that Yah is exactly... knows what he's talking about here? Verse 58 says this, if you will not observe to do all of the words of this Torah that are written in this book, so that you may fear the glorious and fearful name, not the Lord your God. That's a disgusting place to mistranslate it. So that you can fear his real name, Yahuwah Eloheka. Then will Yahuwah make your plagues wonderful. Huh? Sounds like Fauci is supposed to be... No, maybe Yahuwah just uses the Faucis and the communist Chinese Wuhan lab people and the Ukrainians that are doing the same thing over there and the Hunter Bidens to ferry the gain-of-function research plague material around. Yahuwah will make your plagues wonderful. The plagues of your seed, even great plagues of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance. Now, this one I have, the last 2 years since the COVID pandemic, I have really been emphasizing this. I think it is so vitally important to understand and to read. And I encourage folks, if there's, there's a whole bunch in here. Have people, if they don't understand the blessings and the cursings, read Deuteronomy chapters 28 and 29. Starting in 28. But verse 60, so this is verse 28, 60, says, and he, Yah, will bring back upon you all the diseases of Mitzrayim. Remember the plagues, the diseases, the things that were written about there in the book? Some of them we're not even sure of the names of, but you get the picture. We can see it. He'll bring back all of those nasty things, things that you were in dread of, and they will cleave unto you. Well, that sounds just horrible, doesn't it? But wait. Here's a verse that I point to and say, this one ought to really resonate. Now, if you want a picture Fauci's wonderful little gnome-like face lying to you and telling you, I am the great God science, you will bow down to me and I'll inject your children and I will make your plagues. No, I'm the one that bioengineered those, except for when I'm talking to Rand Paul, then I'm going to lie about it. But when I'm out of there, boy, I'm the one that gives the grants. If somebody runs afoul of me, they'll never work again in this town. Listen to this and think about it in the modern context. What have we seen the last 2 years? Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not, I've got that underlined, which is not written in this book of the Torah. What? You mean there are some diseases that don't even exist, didn't exist when this was written? They're not written in the book because, well, they hadn't been gain of function designed yet? They hadn't had the bat guano mixed with all the stuff from pigs and you name it, so that they could be more infectious and more deadly and more wonderful? Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the Torah, those will Yahuwah your El bring upon you until you are destroyed. he might have some help. In other words, you might have the satanic host, the Mangalas of the world, working in their bioweapons lab, saying, "Oh, look what we've got. We've got bio-specific. We've got haplogroup specific plagues. You want a plague? We got a plague. We can inject it into you with the poison poke, too. Ha ha. If you're stupid enough to let us put something into your arm, and you don't even know what's in that needle." Am I being mean, folks, to say if you're stupid enough to let them inject you with stuff? No. I think that's as kind as I can put it. If you're stupid enough to let people who serve Satan put a needle in your arm and inject you with, you don't know what, but I guarantee you, Satan probably does. Go read these verses. Every sickness which is not written in this book, he will bring upon you till you are destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were like the stars of heaven for multitude. Now, I've made this reference before. There's a Deagle website that basically is a CIA front group. And they have been advertising for several years. United States population currently, I believe it's a little over 320 million people. But they're saying by 2025, hey, that's just 2.5 years from now or so. By 2025, they're going to get it down to under 100 million. Maybe better if they have their way. So you'll be left few in number, where you were like the stars in heaven for multitude. Because, why? Because you didn't hearken Shamar unto the voice of Yehuah. And it'll come to pass that just as Yehuah rejoiced, he Shamar'd over you to do you good, to multiply you, so will he now rejoice over you to cause you to perish, to destroy you, and you'll be plucked off the land that you went in to possess it. Again. Oh yeah. This has already happened, hasn't it? I'll say it again. This land? Which land are we talking about? I have long contended, cycle upon cycle, wheels within wheels. Ezekiel talks about it. Cycles repeat. Will prophetic cycles repeat too? Certainly we've seen example after example of it. I can't help but think, yeah, this does. And Yahuwah will scatter you. Now this, no question, has happened, and here we are. And Yahuwah will scatter you among all peoples, from the one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, which you have not known, not you nor your fathers, even wood and stone. Rock, silicon, I guess, is a great way to put it. I every time I read that, serving other gods, I think about the AI gods and how the Internet of Things and what they're preparing to do right now with the mark of the beast. The Biden-Fuhrer literally has an executive order which has the first of the deadlines is passed. And what it will do is essentially put in place a new digital replacement for the fiat buck. Without which, guess what? They've already said it. You won't be allowed to buy or sell. You will own nothing. And you'll be happy for the few months that you'll be allowed to live. Serving other gods. How do you think they intend to enforce their mark of the beast? With an AI, omnipotent presence that will know all, see all, have facial recognition, cameras on every street corner. Literally your underwear will rat you out because they're going to put little chips in it. And the chips will have a communication capability with the Internet of Things. And so will the cars, because you won't be able to drive a car. You'll just be able to ride if the car lets you go. And everywhere you go, with your phone and with your underwear and your shirts and all the things that you purchase and your shoes, they'll all be broadcasting your location. They'll even know what you're wearing. Gods of wood and stone and silicon. Among these nations, you'll have no repose. There'll be no rest for the sole of your foot. But Yahuwah shall give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and languishing of soul. You see people out, folks, trembling and having a trembling heart as they put on their little mask while they're alone riding a bicycle or driving in their car? Doesn't that pretty much resonate? And your life will hang in doubt before you. You'll have fear night and day. Hey, will the FBI bust down my door because I put a tweet out? Oh, no! Maybe they overheard what I said because the Internet of Things ratted me out. I let it slip that I didn't think this was a good thing that they were doing. You'll have no assurance of your life. In the morning, you'll say, well, I sure wish it were evening. And at evening, you'll say, well, I sure wish it was morning. Because of the fear in your heart with which you shall fear, and the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And Yahuwah will bring you back to Egypt in ships. By the way, whereof I said to you, you shall see it no more again. And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondsmen and for bondswomen, and no man shall buy you. Now, I read this. I actually thought of this several years ago, but see if it doesn't resonate even more now. Bring you back to Egypt's and ships. Well, is that a metaphor? Probably. But the rest of it, there you will sell yourselves unto your enemies. Now think about it. Are American slaves? Do they still have the God-given, constitutionally protected right to what? Freedom of assembly, worship, speech, to petition their government for a redress of grievances? Oh, except if you try to do that and you think the election was rigged, we'll just lock you up and throw away the key. We will sell you into bondage. What did they just pass? A bill that says, oh, the Federal Reserve owns you. And yeah, we've got 70-plus thousand, 87,000 total, but 70,000 of them or so are going to be armed. Those are your bondsmen, slave drivers. No man shall buy you. They don't have to buy you. They already own the debt. Isn't that clever? So I read this and I think this is a done deal. This is already the Fed. These are the words, it says, of the covenant which Yahuwah commanded Moshe to make with the B'nai Israel in the land of Moab, in addition to, beside the covenant that he made with them in Horeb. So there ends the blessings and the cursing. So literally they're all contained in chapter 28. And chapter 29 is kind of interesting. We're going to get a little bit more personal commentary from Moshe. And this is where the portion ends. And this, of course, is a long one, folks. But as you might have guessed, I wasn't kidding when I said, here's the beef. Moshe called to Kol Israel, all of them. He said, you've seen all that Yahuwah did before your eyes in the land of Mitzrayim in Egypt, unto Pharaoh, all his servants and land, the great trials which your eyes saw, or at least your parents' eyes, and maybe you were pretty young at the time. Anyway, the signs and those great wonders. But Yahuwah has not given you ears, a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Huh? Well, says Moses, I've led you 40 years, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, and your clothes, notice, they haven't waxed old upon you. Your shoe isn't waxing old upon your foot. Now, when I read this verse, I'm thinking, you know, there's another interesting thing in here. They don't say this. And I can think of a couple ways that this could come to pass, some of them more miraculous than others. Your clothes have not waxed old upon you. Your shoe isn't waxing old upon your foot. The sandals have lasted for years. But what about a five-year-old kid that's walking on those little sandals? And now he's a 45-year-old man. I bet you the sandals had to grow on his foot. You ever thought about that? Either that or he had to go find some dead people and take their sandals. We're not told about that. If I had to guess, I think that if Yah can make the clothes not wear out, he can probably make them grow along with the occupant. Just kind of food for thought. Anyway, you've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know, he says, that I am Ani Yahuwah Elohechem. The three words that that literally describe the essence of the Exodus. Ani Yahuwah Elohechem. And when you came into this place, remember, Sihon, king of Heshbon, Og, the king of Bashan, they came out against us, and we kicked their butts. We smote them. We took their land, we gave it for an inheritance of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of the Manassites. So, therefore, here it is, Shamar. It's actually the Yal form of Shamar. Shamar Tem. Observe, Yal, therefore the words of this covenant, and what? Do them, that you make all that you do to prosper. And guess what? That is the final verse in this week's Torah portion. So he summarizes it after the blessing and the curses with a remember. Here's what you've seen. And we've heard this before. He's repeated this more than once now. Isn't that a pretty good indicator of who it is that we serve? So therefore, observe the words of this covenant and do them, that you make all that you do to prosper. And again, with that, the Torah portion ends.